So today was the last day of Hanukkah, and we already miss those beautiful Neres Hanukkah. So the topic we will be discussing today will not be Hanukkah, because it no longer is Hanukkah, but maybe in the second part of today's shiur, we will, in a way, come back also to Neres Hanukkah. So in this week's parsha, the story of Yosef and his brothers reaches a very dramatic climax when Yosef demands from the brothers, go back and bring your little brother, Binyamin. I insist that I see him. And then Yehuda steps up and he says, we can't do that. Actually, when Yosef decides that Binyamin is going to be stay in Mitzrayim and you go back, and then Yehuda says, "Ki avdecho orav esanar meim avi leimor im lo yevi yene alecho v'chotosi laavi kol hayomim." And in last week's parsha, Yehuda tries to persuade Yaakov Avinu to let him take Binyamin. Unoichi aroveno miyodi tivaksheno. And the very last sigya, Masechet Bava Basa, Kufayin Gimel, Kufayin Dalad, the last sigya deals with Dinei Orev. And Orev, I think in English, is a guarantor. And the Gemara seeks a source that Arvus is valid, that an Orev could obligate himself to pay a loan that he actually never received. He didn't get the money. The loiva gets the money, and the Orev is obligated in certain circumstances to pay that loan, and the Gemara seeks a source. How do we know that Arvus is valid? And the Gemara proves the validity of Arvus from Yehuda. Unoichi arveno miyodi tivaksheno ki avdecho orav es hanar. So we will not be discussing the complexity of Dinei Orev in Choshe Mishpot, but what I would like to examine is a very interesting topic. Arvus and mitzvahs and arvus and momain, are they the same concept? Are they related? Kol yisol arevim ze lezeh. Does that have anything to do with arvus in Choshe Mishpot? The arvus in Or HaChaim and the arvus in Choshe Mishpot, are they one and the same, or are they totally the two different concepts? So the source of arvus and mominus is in Bava Basa Kufayin Gimel Kufayin Dalet and Choshe Mishpot Kuf Chav Tes. The source of arvus by mitzvahs and averes is in Sanhedrin Chav Zayin Amid Beis and Shavuos Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. How do we know arvus of mitzvahs? V'kashlo ish ba'avoyin ochiv. Im yesh b'yudah limchois v'loy mocho. He bears responsibility. And it is from there that Chazal learned kol yisrael arevim ze leze. So the first source that does bring the two together is the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah Chof Tes Amid Aleph, when the Gemara says, kol ha-mitzvah shebetoira, afal pi sheyotzu moitzi, you already benched, but another person didn't bench, and he doesn't know how to bench, you could bench once again to be moitzi him yidei chayvosai. You already read the Megillah, or heard the Megillah, and then you go to the home of an elderly person who can't leave his house, and you read the Megillah, and you make the bruchah once again to be moitzi him. How could you make a bruchah the second time around? You already yotze. That is the din of afal pi sheyotzu moitzi. And the Gemara doesn't explain why afal pi sheyotzu moitzi, but most of the Rishonim, including Tosfos and the Ritva and the Rashba and many others, explain the concept afal pi sheyotzu moitzi. You already performed your mitzvah, but you could do it again and say a brocha again for the benefit of another person, and you are moitzi him. That is based on arvus, on the idea, on the concept of kol yisrael arevim ze leze. And the Ritva writes in the Shoshana Chof Tes, hareyem kiguf echod. They are like one and the same, kiguf echod, like the same person. So the Ritva does explain the concept of Afal Pi Sheyotze Moitzi, he still owes it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to perform his mitzvah. And just like a guarantor pays the chayv of the lender, in the same way, I say brachas for him. Which brings us to question number two. Anybody that learned the sugi of Eir Arvus, either in the end of Bava Basra or in Choshe Mishpat Kuf Choftes, Kuf Lamed, knows that there are two different types of Orev, Orev Stam and Orev Kablin. Regarding the basic form of Arvus, Ein Efroin Mina Orev Tchilo, you can't come to the Orev and ask him to pay up until you made every effort to collect your money from the lender. You must first go to the Loive before you turn to the Orev. But if he's an Orev Kablen, there is no such requirement. And the, no, I said the lender instead of the borrower, I think. So if he's an Orev Kablen, then the lender, the benefactor, the one that gave the loan, could turn directly to the guarantor, directly to the Orev, and he doesn't need to go to the borrower first. That is the concept of Orev Kablen. So if we assume that Arvus B'Mitzvus is based on the same idea as Arvus by monetary issues, then would there be Stam Orev or an Orev Kablen? So the Mishnah LeMelech, Perek Chofei, Hilchis Malve V'Loiven, Aloche Gimel, brings a Medrash in this week's parasha. Medrash Tanchume, Parshas V'Yigash, Kishabo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Litn Torah LiYisrael, and the Yidden said, Nasav and Ishma, please. Kodesh Baruch Hu asked, who is your Orev? What do I do if you don't pay up? Do you have any Orev? And the Jews responded by saying, Bonenu, you are Raven. So the Mishnah Melech asks a gevaldige kasha. Ein efroin min ha-Orev tchila. So the lender first needs to go to the borrower before he is entitled to ask the guarantor to pay. As long as he didn't try and make every effort to collect his money from the borrower, he can't turn to the Orev. So does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have any problem in collecting from the borrower? So how will he ever be entitled to turn to the Orev? So why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need an Orev if he never will have the right to turn to the Orev? Because the Orev, our children could always say, well, you collect whatever you want from our parents. And as long as the lender doesn't go to the borrower, he is not entitled to turn to the Orev. So what type of Arvus does HaKadosh Baruch Hu expect we to suggest? And Blei Yisrael said, Bonenu Yiyu Arevim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu seemed to be happy with it. So the Mishnah HaMelech makes an interesting argument. Stam Orev has no intention to take responsibility upon himself only after the lender does his best to collect the money from the borrower. And the Orev is entitled to say, at the end of the day, I didn't see the money, I didn't use the money, wasn't given to me. So first, please, you make an effort to collect the money from him, and only if you're not successful, I will step up to the plate. But first, try to collect your money from the one that had benefit of that money. But when the intentions of the Orev are clear, even though he didn't specifically say, I'm going to be an Orev Kablen, but if that clearly was the plan and was the idea, then he has a din of an Orev Kablen. So, Dafka he anusenes, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no problem collecting from whoever he wants to collect from, therefore, by the story between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Matan Torah, whoever was the Orev should have understood that the lender might turn directly to him. So it is brought in the name of Reb Chaim Brisker that from the very Aloha Afal Pi Sheyotze Moitzi, we could prove that Ba'avos on mitzvahs, it is always Orev Kablen. And Reb Chaim's argument was this. What is the difference between Stam Orev and Orev Kablin? Stam Orev is not considered as if he received the money. He just shares the responsibility to repay that loan. He is not involved only in payback, but he is not considered as the loiva. So from the very halacha, afal pi shiyotze moitzi, seems to be clear that I and him are like one and the same, and that is the concept of an orev kablin. In my personal opinion, I think that arvus by mitzvahs has nothing to do with monetary arvus, with arvus of mominus. Maybe semantics. So when the Ritva says, "Afal pi shiyotze moitzi ko orev ha-porea choivoi shel chaveiroi," maybe that is why Chazal call it arevim, kol yisrael arevim ze leze. But by their very definition, I think we're dealing with two totally different concepts. When we're dealing with mitzvahs, bein odom l'chaveire or bein odom l'mokoyim, there are two different realms. Kiyum mitzvah, and the oinish, the punishment, if you did not perform your duty. And those are two different concepts. Number one is your mere duty, your chayve to perform tayag mitzvah shebetayra. It is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands and what he expects of us. And if we didn't do our share, whether we violated lo yisasa, or we do not perform our mitzvah sasei, then stage number two is yesh din v'yesh dayin, and we pay the price. So in mitzvahs and in avedas, there are two different concepts and two different stages. In mominus, it's not that way. So in mominus, when you borrowed money, you took upon yourself to pay. That is your mitzvah. And if you didn't pay, you come to Bezin, and Bezin will make you pay. Or they will take possession of your money and transfer it to the other party. So they're basically the same. In mominus, there is no einish besides paying. So in mominus, these two realms, these two concepts are one and the same. Because if you don't pay a loan, you have no malchus, you have no misa, Bezin will just make you pay. However, by mitzvahs and by aveiros, there are two different stages. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks Bnei Yisrael, who are your arevim, and they say, our children, to me it is clear. That has nothing to do with afal pi shiyotze moitzi. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu means to say, I want you to know, he tells Klal Yisrael, if you won't rise to the challenge, your children might pay the price, the ultimate price. And in various different sources and shas, we find, Ba'avoin zevezeh bonav shalod emesim. That is what the arvus of children is all about. That has nothing to do with afal pi shiyotze moitzi. And let me just remind you what I quoted 10 minutes ago. What is the basic source of kol yisrael arevim zeh lezeh? V'kashlu ish ba'avoin achiv. That means that Kodesh Baruch Hu would extract punishment from everyone. Yesh b'yod elim chois v'lai mocho hu nenash. So, when the Gemara speaks about kol yisrael arevim zeh lezeh, it is not about helping other Jews perform their mitzvahs. It is about paying the price if you didn't do so. It is only the Rishonim that explain the concept of Aval Pishiyotze Moitzi based on Arvus. That is not the Gemara. The two basic sources in Chazal, in Shas, in which we learn Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Lezeh, deal with the ultimate price, with punishment. V'koshlu ish ba'avoin ochev. Yes, the Rishonim also explain the Din Aval Pishiyotze Moitzi based on Arvus. But that is secondary. So to me it is clear, when the Medrash Tanchum says in Parshas Vayigash, Kodesh Baruch Hu asks Al Yisrael B'Shas Matan Torah, Mi Orev Lechem, and they say, our children, they don't say our neighbors, they don't say our friends, they don't say our parents, they say our children. And that means the Kodesh Baruch Hu conveys a message, I want you to know, if you won't be sincere about your mitzvahs, then your children might pay the price. And therefore, it has nothing to do either with Orev Stam or with Orev Kablin. It is a different concept, the way I understand it. So, there's an interesting tshuva in Marsham, Chelek Gimel Simakuf Lamed Aleph. And I quoted the Marsham, I think, the last siman of Minchas Osho and Chumash Bereishis. In a very lengthy siman I wrote about Yisachar Zavulun, about 20 years ago, I was asked from one of the Choshev Roshivis in Bnei Brak, there was a need to fly a child out to America for an operation, a life-saving operation, and there was a desperate need for funds. The operation in those days should have costed about $250,000. And a person called anonymously, and you will understand why he didn't want to share his identity. And he said he is willing to give $100,000 if somebody will be willing to buy his Averis. So we would like to know what's up, what's in the offer. I mean, what's in that bag? Will you let us know what you offer? No, he said, if anybody's willing to buy my Averis, $100,000. So the Shivas and Bnei Brak turned to me. Is there such a thing? Could we make such a deal? By the time I just thought about it, he was up to $200,000. So obviously, had a great appeal, this deal. And there are actually Masa Shehoyo 100 years ago, and we find three different shuvas and three svarim dealing precisely with this question. So there was a poor man in a little town in Hungary, and he couldn't provide for his family. And one day he comes home, b'simcha gedoyla, and he tells his wife that I have a person that's willing to support us on a monthly basis. He's going to give us, you know, a monthly stipend. And his wife asked him, how did you find it? Is it Eliyahu HaNavi? So he tells her no, and he's not from, and he asked me to buy his Averis. And I made a deal with him. And his wife threw him out of the house. He says, no, I want no part of this money. You go back and you pull out of this deal. And the Marsham, Chergim and Samakuf Lamed Aleph was asked, and the Machna Chaim and some other Gedolim of that time, and they look for sources. So one of the sources might be when Yaakov Avinu was afraid to go in disguise and fool his blind father and say he's Esav, and Yaakov says, Ula Yemushani Yovi, Vohisi Bienov Kemitataya, Vehevesi Alai Klola Vole Brocha, and Rivka says, Olai Kilolos Chobini, I take it upon myself. So could a person take upon himself what is rightfully owned to someone else? Well, that is not an Oynish B'day Shemayim. In those psukim, we're dealing with the curse that Yitzchak might become angry, so that's different. And in the Rishonim and in the Targumim, there are different interpretations what Rivka actually meant when she said, Olai Kilolos Chobini. But the Marsham has a very interesting comment coming back to today's topic. Is Arvis by Mitzvahs and Avedis similar to Arvis by Mamon? So the Marsham says, even by an Orev Kablin, the lender is entitled to turn directly to the guarantor, to the Orev, and he doesn't have to come first to the borrower. But if the lender wants to come to the borrower, he is entitled to do so. He doesn't have a chiev of turning to the Orev, and he has both options. He could turn directly to the Orev, but he could turn to the Loiv as well. So the Masham argues, how could one sell his Avedis? The lender always is entitled to turn to his Baal Choyv directly, and you can't impose upon him to turn to the guarantor. So that would make no sense. You cannot sell your Avedis. You're the borrower. You owe it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You could never put someone in your place and get out of the crux. That doesn't work. So the Masham once again does see some comparison between Arvis and Mitzvahs and Avedis and Arvis and Mamonis. But as I made clear, I think there are two totally different concepts. So some of the greatest Achronim, the Maharit and the Tumim and the Chikrei Lev, have an interesting argument. So the basic concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze LaZeh, the Gemara learns from the Pasuk, V'koshlu Ish Ba'avayin Ochev. If you could prevent another Yid from doing an Aveda and you didn't do your best, you pay the price. And you will be punished as well. That is because Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze LaZeh. So what happens, asks the Marit. Pliny did an Aveda. Elmoni might have had the power and the means to prevent him from doing that Aveda. So Elmoni bears responsibility. Then Pliny did tshuva. Does that take Elmoni off the hook as well or not? You got to do tshuva because you didn't do your best. But there no longer is any Aveda. So the Avaryan did tshuva. Would his tshuva help to salvage the Orev, the one that wasn't Meicha? Is it reasonable that the Baal Aveda will not be punished, but his Orev will? So in Mominis, if the Malve is Meicha, the Loive, he no longer is entitled to ask the Orev to pay. And the Orev could say, Im ein Loive, ein Orev. So if the loiva is no longer expected to pay because the malva was moichel the loiva, then he can no longer ask the orev to pay. So if the avarian did tshuva and a kodesh baruch was moichel the loan, then why would the orev have to pay the price? So that is the opinion of the Maharit, the Yaris Dvash. The Tumim, Dushu Dalev says no. No. The Avaryan did tshuva. So he took care of his problem. But the Orev still bears responsibility. So would we say that the Marit and Yaris Dvash are the argument I have with Reb Chaim Brisker or with the Mishnah Melech? Whether the Arvis and Mitzvahs and Avedis is in any way the same as the Arvis of a Loiva and a Malva and a Orev. Because dealing with Hilchas Malva v'Loiva, it is a very basic concept. Im ein Loiva, ein Orev. If the Loiva doesn't have to pay, neither does the Orev have to pay. So the Chikrei Lev says, it depends whether he did Tshuva Meir or Tshuva Meyavo. If he did Tshuva Meyavo, and all the Zedonis became like Zechuyos, then we could really argue, Im ein loive, ein orev. But if only did Tshuva Meira, so the Zedonis are Kishgogois, but they're still Avedis. They're still Avedis. So we cannot say, Im ein loive, ein orev. Yesh loive. Because even though he won't be severely punished, but Zedonis are Kishgogois, he still is a loiva in a way. However, yes, these are the greatest gedolim, the Tumim, the Marit, and the Chikrei Lev. I just want to point out that all three svarim of these gedolim are not Sifrei Halacha. So the Marit appears in his Sefer Tzofen Spanei Achal HaToyra Parshas Hazinu. It's not in the Tumim, in Choshe Mishpatzim and Kuf Choftes, but in Yaris Dvash, Drosh Yud Aleph, and the Chikrei Lev has a Sefer Drosh, it's called Marchei Lev in Drosh Ayin. So I once again say, yeah, beautiful Divrei Drosh, beautiful, inspiring, nice, cute. I don't know how to describe these Divrei Drosh, but I think by basic halachic definition, Arvis in the realm of Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze LaZeh, Mitzvahs and Avedis, is a totally different concept, and it is not dependent on the details on the protein of Arvis Shalomomi. However, there is room to delve into the essence of Kol Yisrael Arev Mezeh Lezeh, because the way the Rishonim understand it, it is not only about punishment. That is the basis of the Halacha Afal Pi She'yotzei Moitzi. You already benched, you already said Berachas HaTorah, you already said Kriya Shema, you already davened Shachas, and you do that all again to be Moitzi another person Yedei Chavosai. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the Shia, that is based on the concept of Arvis, Kol Yisrael Arev Mezeh Lezeh. There would be two different ways to interpret the concept of Arvis. I quoted the Ritva because the Ritva is the earliest and probably the most important source. Keguf echod heim, v'ka'odam ha'pereachoy v'yishol chaveroy. So one way to understand the din of Aval Pishiyotza Moitzi would be this. You think you were Yotza, but as long as he wasn't Yotza, neither were you, because his chiyuv is your chiyuv. And as long as he wasn't Yotze and you could help him out, it is considered as if you are Mechuyev in Kriya Shema, because he is Mechuyev. And if he can't do it himself, you got to do it for him. His Chiyev is your Chiyev, and as the Ritva says, Kiguf Echod Heim. But there would be a different way and a different interpretation. And interpretation number two would be this. There's a loch of Shemei Kohenim. So why can't I say a brocha for him? Because if you were Yaitze, then your brocha is not a brocha shal mitzvah. And if your brocha is not a brocha shal mitzvah, it is void. He can't be Yaitze with your brocha because your brocha is not a mitzvah. His brocha would be a mitzvah because he is mechuyev in that mitzvah, but you were already Yaitze. So if you say that brocha again, it means nothing. It's not a brocha shal mitzvah. And he needs to hear a brocha shal mitzvah. He needs to hear kriyas megillah shal mitzvah. He needs to hear shoifa shal mitzvah. He needs to hear berachas hamazon shal mitzvah. And if you already performed all those mitzvahs, then your brocha, your kriya, your shoifa is not a mitzvah. And this is where arvis comes in. No, it still is defined as a mitzvah. What mitzvah you mekayim? I mekayim the mitzvah of arvis. And therefore, when I bench for him, when I blow shofar for him, when I call the Megillah for him, it is a kriya shal mitzvah and a brocha shal mitzvah, and that is enough. And if he hears a brocha shal mitzvah, then he is yoytze medin shomei akoyne. So do we need to say that arvis is considered as if you and him are the same, and if he wasn't yoytze, neither were you? Or we don't have to go that far. We don't have to go to such an extreme. He wasn't Yaitze and I was Yaitze. But I still have a mitzvah helping me out with his mitzvahs because I'm an Orav. And therefore my kriya would be defined as a kriya shal mitzvah, and that is enough. So he should be able to be Yaitze with the shmiya of my kriya. And I think this is a machloikas between great achloinim. So the Mogen Avraham in Siman Tov Resh Nun Hey deals with the question. Ein Shotin is a Shavus. You cannot swim on Shabbos. You cannot use a boat on Shabbos. Shemi Yitakin Chaviz Shel Shayotim. That is similar to Ein Metapchen Ve'ein Merakdin Ve'ein Roich Ven Al Gabi Beheime. It's a set of Alochas. However, a person is entitled to cross the river or the pond in a boat if he doesn't have a lulav, and the only way he could get a lulav is from the other side of the river. Because mitzvah's lulav min ha-Torah overrides the shavus of Ein Shotin. So the Mogen Avraham says, am I entitled to take that boat ride to the other side of the river to bring a lulav, not for myself, but for another person? So the Mogen Avraham says, if he is a poshaya, ein oimrim rodem chatei kedei sheyizke chaveiroi, but if he is an oines, then yes, you are entitled to do so. Because there is a basic rule in Tosfos, Shabbos Daf Dalet and Erev and Daf Lamed Beis. כשפה שהחברוי אין עוינם לו עוד מחטא כדי שיזכה חברוי. And the Mishnah Berurah, Tof Reish Nun Hei, in Sha'aret Zion Sif Koten Hei, argues against the Magen Avraham. Kol Yisrael Arev Mzeh Lezeh. His chiyuv is my chiyuv. So, it is not v'chi oimrem lo'odom chatei kedei sheyizka chaveiroi. It is kedei sheyizka who. So it has nothing to do with kedei sheyizka chaveiroi. So the way the Mishnah Berurah understands Arvis is you and him are the same. And if he wasn't Makai Mitzvah's Lulav, you have your Lulav. But his Chiyav is your Chiyav. So it has nothing to do with V'chi Oymer Ma'odam Chatei Kedei Sheyizke Chaveiro. I would say that the Magen Avraham's understanding is, no, definitely is Kedei Sheyizke Chaveiro. Arvis doesn't mean that I and him are the same. Arvis doesn't dictate that if he wasn't Yoitze, neither am I. Arvis merely obligates me to try to help him out. And therefore, my bruchu would be a bruchu shel mitzvah. That is my mitzvah of Arvis. And therefore, yes, this is a classic example of ein oidem l'odem chatei kedei sheyizke chaveiro. So that would be my understanding of the machloikas between Magen Avraham and Mishnah Berurah. But I really wonder about the Mishnah Berurah. So when would Chazal say, Ein oinem lo odem chatei kedei sheyizke chaveiroi? When would that rule apply? Arvis is relevant by Mitzvah lo tase as it is by Mitzvah asei, the same. So we could always argue, it's not chatei sheyizke chaveiroi, it's chatei kedei shetizke ato. His aveira is your aveira, his mitzvah is your mitzvah. So I don't really understand the Sha'aretzion. So there's a Taisus in Rosh Hashanah Tezayin, and this is source number two. I think it's a Machlokes Dechsam Soifen Rebiki Vega. Rosh Hashanah Tezayin, Taisus deals with the question, Tkiyas the Moment and Tkiyas the Meyushav, why isn't that Bal Toisef? Why would that not be considered Bal Toisef? So Taisus says, you might argue, after he was Tekeya, Tkiyas the Meyushav, he already was Yoitze, and therefore, it's Shelo Bizmanoi. Shelo Bizmanoi, there is no Bal Toisef. Toisef says no. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Choftes that a Koyein that adds on additional brochas after the three basic brochas of Berchas Kohanim is Oyver and Bal Toisef. And the Gemara gives an example. A Koyein that says, he's Oyver the Duchan, Benesias Kapayim, and he says, Yivarech Hashem Vishmalecho, Yor Hashem Pune Velecho Vichuneko, Yisro Hashem Pune Velecho, V'yosem lecho sholem. Yosef Hashem aleichem kochem elef pa'omim, that's Bal Toisef. The Gemara asks, why would that be called Toisef? The moment he finished the three bruchas, he's Yoitzi Dechoyve, and Mekan ve'elech, it's Shelo Bizmanoi. The Gemara says, no. If there will be another tzibur and another minion, and they also need a Kohen to bestow a Kodesh bruchas upon them, it would be his obligation. And that's for, it's still Bizmanoi. So Toisef says, you already blow the shofar. But if other people come into the shul and they didn't hear the shofar yet, it will be your obligation to blow for them. Therefore, it still would be considered bizmanoi. So Rabbi Akiva asks, it's not the same. When a Kohen says Berchas Kohanim once again for another minion, he is not moitzi them. He is mekayim his mitzvah. His mitzvah is to bench him. When a Kohen benches the congregation, he isn't moitzi them. It is not for them to say Berchas Kohanim, and he is moitzi them. It is his mitzvah to bestow Kodesh Baruch's brochas on them. So therefore, it is still defined as manoi. But after a person blew Tisha Koilas and it was Yoitze Mitzvah Shoifrom, even if he will be moitzi others, that is no longer his mitzvah. And the Chasam Sofer argues, to the contrary. To the contrary. If a Kohen already benched once, he was Yoitze his mitzvah. Yes, he still has a mitzvah to bench another minion. But that is not a chiyuv, it's only a mitzvah. But if you want to be Yoitze other people with Kiyas Shoifer, that is as if your mitzvah, their mitzvah is your mitzvah. So I think the Chassam Sofer understanding is similar to the Shaar HaTzion, but I really would support the Akiva Egis understanding, not the Chassam Sofer's. No. When you are Moitzi others, it is not considered as if you weren't Yoitze. It is not your Chiyuv. Your Chiyuv is not Shofar. You are already Yoitze Shofar. Your Chiyuv is Arvus. It's not Shofar. However, I think that some Sofer's interpretation, similar to the Shaar HaTzion's interpretation, is if he wasn't Yoitze Shofar, I still have the Chiyuv of Shofar. And if he wasn't Yoitze Berchus HaMozon, I have a chiyuv of Berchus HaMozon. But as I said before, I think the Mogel Avraham is right, and therefore I think Rabbi Akiva Egis is right in question number two. So there's a machlokes in Poskim. When Shliach Tzibbur number one said Berchus HaShofar, he tries to blow, but he's not successful. And then another one steps up to the bima in his place. But the Baltikeya number two wasn't in shul when Baltikeya number one said the brochas. He didn't hear the brochas yet. He didn't hear the brochas here, but he already blew shofar elsewhere with the brochas. But he didn't hear the brochas in this shul. And some Rishonim and Poskim maintain he needs to say the brochas, Berchus HaShofar. And others wonder why. The Kehillah already heard Berchus HaShofar from Baltikeya number one. Baltikeya number two was already Yoitze Shofar elsewhere. Why would he need to say Brochus? So the Shulchan Aruch Harav, Hilcha Shabbos Reish Samach Gimel explains, because if I am Moitzi others, it is as if I am Chayev in Shofar. I think I was Yoitze 2 hours ago in another shul, but right here and now, I have the chiyuv of shofar. And because I didn't hear the brochas this time around, I need to say the brochas. The Kehillah already heard brochas, but I didn't. And their chiyuv is my chiyuv. So this understanding, once again, brings us back to the Chassam Sofer to the Shaar HaTzion. But that is not halacha psuka. And the halacha is, no. If the Baltikeya was already Yoitze elsewhere, and the Kehillah already heard Berchus HaShofar from Baltikeya number one that wasn't successful in blowing, then Baltikeya number two blows without a bracha. Because right now he doesn't have a chiyuv of Shofar, he has a chiyuv of Arvus. So the Mishnah brought it twice. Simen Ches and Hilchas Tzitzis Siv Kotn Yudalad and Simen Reishai and Gimel and Hilchas Kiddush Siv Kotn Chof. The Mishnah Berurah understands the Magen Avraham. Ein Shliach Tzibbur Moitzi Es Aboki. According to the Magen Avraham, even Bidiyeved he can't be Moitzi the Boki. Mishnah Berurah paskins in accordance to most Achroinim. It is only Lechatchila. If people could read themselves, they should do so and not be Yoitze with another person. But b'diyeved or the moitzi af es habok. So what is the understanding of the poskim that say, ein the moitzi es haboki? Some achronim say, because you don't turn to the orev as long as the loiva has money to pay. Ein ephraim in the orev tchila. So after pishiyotze moitzi is only when the loiva can't pay on his own. It is only then that the orev has to step in and fulfill his obligation, what he took upon himself. Therefore, an orev can't be moitzi the boki. If he could say Krishna himself, and he could say Shmonesa himself, it is his responsibility, and the orev has nothing to do with it. So some achrayim do explain that is the opinion of the Magen Avraham. Maybe. I am not convinced. Many times I tell Yungalite and Yeshiva Bochum, we have a tendency, every Machloikis try to explain that the Machloikis depends on Shorshei Advorim, on the essentials of the Segia. But in most cases, that is not true. I think the machloikas is in the details. When the Gemara says at the end of Rosh Hashanah, Einoi Moitzi Esaboki, is that only a lechatchila or even b'di'evet? But the machloikas is in Tkones Chachomim, in Tikkun Chazal. Not necessarily is based on different interpretations of the entire concept of Kol Yisrael Areivim Zelezeh and the concept of Afal Pishi Yotze Moitzi. That is my opinion. But even if that would be the understanding of those poiskim that say, even b'di'evet einoi moitzi esaboki, halochi kemando omer moitzi esaboki, which once again would prove that the more reasonable interpretation of afal pishi yotze moitzi is not that, as long as he wasn't yotze, it is considered as if I wasn't yotze. No. It is merely, I do have a chiyuv to help him out. And that is enough to make my brocha, to define my brocha as a brocha shal mitzvah, or a tkiya shal mitzvah, or a kriya shal mitzvah, which would enable him to be yotze with my brocha and kriya and shofar midin shomei ha-kohen. That would be my basic understanding. Do we find that a person has a chiyuv midin arvis to perform a mitzvah in its entirety in place of another party or another person? Afal pi shiyotze moitzi doesn't mean that I have to pay his loan. It means I need to help him in the performance of his mitzvahs. So if he can't say kriya shema, I say it for him and I moitzi him, and he is yotze bishmir. In monetary arvis, nowhere do we find that the Orav is obligated to help the loiva pay on his own. So if a loiva doesn't have money, but some people owe him money, and he needs to collect those monies to pay his debt, do we find that the Orav has to turn to those other people and demand they pay the loiva to help him pay his debt? No. The Orav could say to the Malva, you need to make the effort. It's between you and him. It is only if you can't collect your money, come to me. But is the Orev required to help the Laiva pay on his own, to be the Shliach to the Malva, to collect money that people owe the Laiva? No, we don't find that. So that is different than Afal Pi Shiyotze Moitzi. By Afal Pi Shiyotze Moitzi, it is not the order of paying instead of the loiva. It is the order of helping out the loiva in the performance of his mitzvahs. What does that have to do with monetary arvis? To the contrary. And this is our next question. Do we find anywhere in halacha that a person has to perform a mitzvah in its entirety when the person that's mechuyev in that mitzvah did not do so? I recall only two sources, and both are in Hilchas Pesach, both are dealing with Bedikas Chometz. Shulchan Aruch HaRav and Siman Tov Lamed Beis Siv Gimel writes that it is only the father that really is Mechuyev in Bedikas Chometz and a Bittel Chometz, not any other member of the family, even if they're above Bar Mitzvah. Because the father is the proper owner of the house and he is the proper owner of the chometz. His wife and his kids don't have ownership. The house is his, the chometz is his. Only he is over on Bal Yaro and Bal Yamutz, and only he has the chiyuv of bedikas chometz. So the Shulchan Aruch Rav says, if the father's away from home, he couldn't make it back. His flight was canceled. Do the other family members have to do Bedikas Chometz? He says, yes. Why? Kol Yisrael Areivim Zelezeh. That is the din of Arvis. So in that case, it's not Afal Pi Shiyotze Moitzi. It's not helping the person perform his mitzvah. It is stepping in to his place and performing the mitzvah instead of him. So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says, that's a chiyuv of Arvis, of Kol Yisrael Areivim Zelezeh. And we find a similar loch in Mishneh Berurah and Hilchas Pesach Tov Mem Gimel Sif Kot Yudalet Bein Mafkid LeNifkad Bein Shoimer LeMafkid. if a mafkid gave a pekodin to a shomer and said of Pesach afternoon, then the nifkid has to be by the chometz. He has to sell that chometz or burn the chometz. Why? So both the Mishnah Berurah and the Shulchan Aruch Rav say that Arvis is not only helping out another party and performing his mitzvahs, but also stepping up to the plate and performing his mitzvah when he doesn't or cannot do so. And Reb Moshe, Igros Moshe Rechaim, Chelek Dalet Simen Tzadik Dalet says, we don't find this concept anywhere. And he doubts that that is the halach. I myself argued, and I wrote this, it's going to be in Minchas Osher. No, I think it's in Chelek Gimel, Shalas HaTshuvas Chelek Gimel. My feeling is that Bal Yaro and Bal Yamotze, as well as the Chiv of Bedikas and Bitl Chometz, rest upon all members of the family, husband, wife, and all the children that are above the age of mitzvahs. Because it does not necessitate monetary ownership. Anybody that is noye keminaga bailim, al pi alocha, all the members of the family are oivam bal yaro v'bal yamotze, and they all are bechlal the chiyuv of bedika and bitl chometz. Even though ownership from the monetary point of view is only the father's, bal yaro and bedikas chometz doesn't depend on balus, momen deka balus. But this is an interesting point of discussion. So I once again argue, afal pus shemotze moitzi has nothing to do with monetary arvis, because the Orev has no obligation in assisting the loiva paying his loans. It is only when the malva cannot collect from the loiva that he has the right to turn to the Orev. Afal pishiyotze moitzi is different. It is helping out the other person to perform his duty. If anything would be similar to monetary arvis, it would be the Mishnah Berurah and the Shulchan Aruch Rav and their argumentation with the Moshe and Igros Moshe. That would be more similar to monetary arvis than the din of afal pi sheyotze moitzi. So we had an interesting sugya today, examining the kesher between kol yisrael areivim ze lazeh that we find by mitzvahs haTorah and the concept of arvis in mumenus. So as I said at the beginning of today's shiur, the story of Yosef and his brothers reaches a dramatic climax in this week's parsha, and then Yosef could no longer bear the pain of seeing his brothers in their torment, and then he reveals his true identity, and he says, "Ani Yosef ha'oid ochi chai." And Yosef explained to his brothers, "This is all a Kodesh Baruch Hu's master plan, liyos lechem lefleitu kedoyve, and to salvage our family and klal Yisrael." So in last week's parasha, when Yehuda and his brothers come back to Yankov and say, "There is no other option, you must let Binyamin go with us," Yankov says, "Yosef einenu. V'shimen einenu, v'ez binyomen tikocho, olai hoyu kulonu." And the Goan has an amazing comment. Where do we find previously olai? I mentioned that posik before. When Rivka tells Yankov many years ago, "Put on Esav's begodim and tell your father Yitzchak that you are Esav." And Yankov is terrified. Ve'evesi olai klolo. Rivka says, "Olai klolos chobeni." So the Goan says, "Olai" is three letters. Esav, Lavan, Yosef. And Rivka tells Yaakov, "My dear son, one cannot escape his destiny. And I see Beruach HaKodesh, you will need to endure three terrible nesyanis, but you will prevail. You will need to endure Esav and Lavan and Yosef. But I see Beruach HaKodesh, you will prevail. So go and do as I told you." This is a command. So that is the Groz interpretation when Rivka says, "Olai kilolos chobeni." and many, many years transpire. And Yaakov is an old man. And after mourning for Yosef, his children come back from Eretz Mitzrayim and they say, the Mishnah LeMelech is a crazy man. And he insists that we bring Binyamin. We have no other option. You must let him go. And Yaakov says, Yosef enenu, Shimon enenu, as Binyamin tikocho, olai hoyu kulono. Yaakov says, I don't understand. Many years ago, I heard from my mother, Rivka, olai kilolosho beni. These are the three challenges. I already endured Esav and Laban and Yosef. What now? It's impossible. I thought this was enough. That is what Rivka promised me. Olai kilolosho beni. And in a short while, Yaakov and all the others understood this isn't an additional challenge. This isn't a curse. It's a blessing. And the entire family will from now be united. And Yaakov is getting Yosef back after he really thought that Yosef was killed. So I wrote in Sichas Minchas Osher al HaTorah, Yaakov Avinu was called Yisrael. He is named after us, or maybe we are named after him. But Yaakov's name is the name of our people, the name of Klal Yisrael. So the Zohar says, the story of Yaakov Avinu, B'derech Min HaDrochim, is the story of Klal Yisrael in every generation. This story unfolds in every generation throughout our history. That is the story of Yaakov Avinu. Yisrael, says the Zohar, is the first letter of Shlosha Ovis and Arba Imois. The Yud is Yitzchak and Yaakov, the Shin is Sora, the Resh is Rivka and Rochel, the Aleph is Avrom, and the Lamed is Leah. All the Zgulas, all the Koiches, all the Miles, all the Shorsh and Neshoma, all the Ovis and Emois, they are all incorporated in Yaakov's great Neshoma, and from him to Klal Yisroel. So the story of Yaakov Avinu is our story, and I say, throughout our history, we also have to endure Esav, Laban, and Yosef. Esav was a murderer, and he wasn't ashamed to explicitly say, Yikrevu yemei evel ochi va'ahargo es Yaakov ochi. I will destroy, I will kill Yaakov. So in the times of Bayis Sheni, there was a Haman. Haman was Esav, and Haman was out, lahashmen laharego la'abe. But Laban was a challenge as well. And B'leil HaSeder, in HaGodesh of Pesach, we say, Bikish Laban Lakar HaSakar. When? How? We do not find that Laban threatened to kill Yaakov. It is nowhere in Torah Shabbal Per, Torah Shabbal Sar. But when Laban says, why do we have to part? Habonim bonai, vabonois benoisai, that is mortal danger. And I assume that Yaakov said, dear Laban, we could respect each other, we could even love each other, but you must understand, habonim einam bonecho, v'abonis einam b'neisecho. We're Jewish, you're not. So my children are not your children, and we are not the same, and we do need to part. We could still stay friends, but we're not the same. That was the threat of Laban. And that was the story of the Yevonim. The Yevonim weren't out to destroy, to annihilate, to kill. But they did try to reform us, and they did try to impose upon us, we are the same. We don't need to part. And they were out, Lashkicham Torasecho, Lavira Machu Keretzonecho. I don't remember whether I ever told you this pshat, but maybe I did a week or two ago. I can no longer remember exactly what I say where. But the Avodim said, Kisvo lechem al ken ashor she'en lechem chelik b'elokei Yisrael. So I said two pshotim. One of the two pshotim is this. And bova kam alamed ches. The Gemara says that the Romans sent two sardiotim, and they demanded that Klal Yisrael translate the Torah. They want to check out our Torah. And when they did, they said, it's all beautiful, it's all amazing, it's all inspiring, except one halacha. Ki yigach shoresh shorayehu. Sharsha Yesol Shanogah Sharshalakum Potter. Sharshalakum Shanogah Sharsha Yesol Meshalam Nezik Sholem. They said this is totally unacceptable. And that aloha doesn't apply to Shen V'regel, only to Keren. So the Yevonim said, Kizvo lechem al Keren HaShor she'ein lechem chelek b'lokei Yisrael. This is something you need to retract. This is something, from our point of view, this is unbearable and unacceptable. So that is what they demanded, Keren HaShor, Niske Keren of Shor, because in this aloha, you claim to be superior. You claim to be different. Shor she Yisrael shenugah shor shel goy, poter and shor shel goy shenugah shor shel Yisrael mishalem nezik sholem. That was the decree of Keren HaShor she'en lechem chelek b'elokei Yisrael. So Haman and the Yevonim, Purim and Chanukah, go back to Esav and Lavan. And our generation, the generation of my late father and my mother, Shitabod L'chaim Toiv Maruchim, both were survivors, and my great Rebbe, the Klozer Maget Rebbe, they knew Hitler. Hitler was Haman. Hitler was Esav. Lahashmid, Lahare, Goliabid. But they also knew Stalin and the Bolsheviks. So they didn't want to kill the Jews. But yes, Lashkicham Terasecho, Ulahaviram, Mechukaretzecho. So it's basically the same story throughout history. It is Haman and the Yevonim, Purim and Chanukah. It's Esav and Lavan, it's Hitler and Stalin. Obviously, it's the same story throughout the ages. But how about Yosef? Yosef is challenge number three. So Haman and Lavan were both external threats. Yosef was a challenge of our own making, and that is the challenge of Sinas Achim. And that is with us since then as well. In every generation, we have the challenge of the tzoras that are of our making, the challenge from within and not from without. Nobody imposes this challenge upon us. We do it ourselves. And that is the challenge of Sinas Achim. And sometimes I feel that we do better in coping with Esav and with Lavan than we do in coping with Yosef, with Sinas Achim. And as Chazal, using the lotion of Chazal, he shechrivu es beiseinu v'sorfu eseichu leinu v'adayin merakad es beineinu. So whenever a new Esav comes up, we just come together in shul and say tilim and daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the challenge of loving, yeah, we need to learn Torah and know what is the proper hashkofa and what is the proper response. And what is the way that we could stand up to this challenge? The challenge of Yosef, I'm afraid Tehillim won't be enough. We need to do more than say Tehillim. And we need to do our best to bring Klal Yisrael together. Ba'avo, ba'achvo, v'sholem, uvereus, leich knoises kol Yehudim. That is the way we need to cope with the challenge of Yosef. V'yechalkenu amom, we should always be one of those Talmidei Chachamim that Chazal say, Talmidei Chachamim Marabim Sholem B'Yoylam, Rav Sholem B'Noyach. So let us hope. Today was the last day of Chanukah. We should be zeichet to the Aragones, and we should be zeichet to see the Kohenim, Bavidosom, and the Levim B'Shirom V'Bezimrom, V'Yisrael B'Mamodom, B'Biyaz Goyel Tzedek, U'B'Binyah Beis HaMikdash, B'Mheirov Yomeinu, Amen.